This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Here I am again. Here you are again, and it's so good to be with you. And last week, I had an amazing show. And I'm not saying that because I think that it was an amazing show. I had other people tell me it was an amazing show. And what made it amazing was because it was a live show. A lot of the times I have to pre-record, and I have to pre-record because it takes the weekend, you know, and sometimes I'm not in town or something happens. So therefore, it's difficult for me to get into the studio. And so I will pre-record. Plus, it's syndicated, which is wonderful. The Sue Free Show is syndicated and it goes to different places and it plays at different times. So it actually made it a little simpler to do pre-records. But KKLA had asked, when I took my little hiatus, they asked for me to do one live show per month. And so I had been off for quite a while from doing live shows. And I came in and I was nervous and everything, but I was feeling so many emotions that I felt, you know, I always give it up to the Lord and I say, Lord, you know, what do you want me to talk about? What's important for the listeners to hear? And what came to me was through him, I'm sure it wasn't my idea, it was his, is that the holidays are so wonderful and so full of love and joy. But it's also full of broken dreams, broken promises, a loneliness for so many people. People move out of where their family is and they're in a different place and they, you know, it's too expensive for them to travel back to where their family is, or, you know, a new divorcee or someone loses a family member and that seat at the table is now not filled and they're left with the tradition of what was and now the reality of what is. Kind of hits you right between the eyes. And this happened for me personally. And I talked a little bit about my story and what I was feeling, that I wasn't with those that I loved so much. And it was a difficult time for me, but also shattered dreams, because those that have listened for a while know that I was in a horse accident and I shattered my leg and I had a metal plate and 10 pins and I was in a wheelchair and learned a lot during that time about asking for help and just being helpless and needy and, you know, just what it takes to go through crutches and a walker and a wheelchair, and just that you have to be still and you have to know that he is God. I mean, you just have to. And during this time of the healing of my leg, which was a huge process, which caused me to, I didn't have a choice, obviously, but it caused me to be patient because I had to be. I didn't have a choice. But I also thought to myself, okay, I can't get up and get at him. So laying on this couch, what is it that I can do, or something that I've wanted to do for a while and just did not have the time to do? So during this time, it became clear that I needed to start writing down my thoughts, my feelings, and it became a book. And this book is called Learning How to Breathe. And that is such an appropriate name for this book, because as a child, I was an asthmatic. I had an older sister. It was harder for her because she had a difficult case of asthma. Mine wasn't as strong or as hard as hers. But anyway, I grew up with asthma in the family. And then when I got pregnant and I did everything right, I read books. I just did everything right. And when my son, a happy, healthy child, which you pray for, my son turned two and we were at a friend's house who had cats. And all of a sudden there was this allergic reaction. And I knew what to do instantaneously, because I had been there and I knew what was happening. My husband, the father, didn't understand what was going on. A firefighter goes out on calls like this, but he didn't understand what was happening or what to do. And I did. I stripped off his clothes and I showered him. And then I asked him to go get some fresh clothes out of the car. And I just had to make sure that his environment had changed from where it was to a new environment to where he could breathe or try to get breath. And so with all that being said, asthma is really real to me. And learning how to breathe is a difficult thing because we do it, I think it's 14,000 times in a day. And with that being said, you don't even think about it. It just kind of happens. You breathe and you just breathe. But when you can't breathe, it's all you can think about is getting that breath. And those of you that have experienced this through emphysema, through asthma, through bronchitis, you understand what it is I am talking about and describing here. But I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that have never experienced this firsthand. And so with that being said, I'm just saying that it's huge, it's big, and a lot of the times doctors don't express to you the importance or the seriousness of asthma. It kills quite a few children in a year. And so it's really close to me. It's close, it's passionate, it's important. So I decided to write a book not only about asthma and the causes of asthma, but also about my journey of how I learned what I learned, because life is a journey and we're learning every minute of every day, and how I utilize this now to help other people. And so this book has been a venture and quite an endeavor. And if I wasn't injured, if I didn't have this timeout, I don't see when I could have fit it in into my busy schedule. And so it became apparent that this is the time that was made for me to write this book. So it was destined that I write the book. It hasn't been published yet. It is called Learning How to Breathe. And I'm bringing it up because it's really important to me right now because it is something that I want to finalize. It's one of those projects. Do you ever have a project where it's on your list, whether it's on the bucket list or it's on the to-do list, and it's on there and it's been on there for a long time and you just can't seem to get to it? It's kind of like my website at work. It's a never-ending battle to get my website done. And, you know, it's one of those things that's just evolving all the time. So it's been on there for years and years and years. This book hasn't been on there for years and years. In fact, it wasn't even in my thinking until recently. There's been a couple people that have wanted me to move forward in this whole different direction. And so they have encouraged me and prompted me to write this story so other moms can understand that it's not as hopeless and that they have a little bit of control. And the more knowledge you have, the better you can handle a situation. And isn't that a life lesson in itself? Is that the more information, for lack of knowledge, people perish. So the more information you have, which is wonderful that KKLA is available, isn't it? Because we learn so much listening to KKLA and KPRZ and KDAR, all these stations that make information, Christian, biblical principles available to us so that we have the rule book for life, which is the Bible. You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. With that being said, this book has been such a huge endeavor for me. And just this morning and last night, I spent hours upon hours on, I think it's the final draft, where I've written it, rewritten it, rewritten it, and now I'm hoping, the final draft. And yes, this morning I was up at 4 a.m. and I read four chapters, and I've made copious notes on how to change things around, make them more understandable to a listener, a reader. I'm saying all that because sometimes our life goes a certain way and then it goes another way. And when you're lonely, when you're down, the holidays bring it to awareness that you're in a place. So I was at a place where I was healed from the leg accident, and I decided that I wanted to dance again because I'm a dancer, and I decided I was going to get back up on that floor, even though the surgeon said, I'm not sure that you'll be able to dance, Sue. I cannot promise you that. He said to me, I will do 100% what I can do for your leg. You messed it up pretty good. And I know you're a high achiever, and I know that you're going to do everything. These are his words, not mine. That you're going to do everything you possibly can. I could tell that within the first 5 minutes that I met you. And then he said to me, he said, the rest is up to God. And I liked that. I found hope in those words. And I pray for my leg. I pray for healing. And the words I speak over my leg are, people say, how are you doing? How is your leg? And I say, I'm getting better every day. And anybody that's talked to me in the last year and a half, if you ask them, when they ask me that question, what I've said, it's been that. I don't say anything but that because that's what I believe. And you speak what you believe. Sometimes you don't see it, but you speak it into reality. And there's truth to that, and that's biblical, is you can speak it into reality, but you have to speak it because your brain has to hear it, and it causes sometimes a chemical reaction within your body. It's somewhat related to forgiveness. We are called to forgive, but forgiveness doesn't come easy sometimes to us, and we have to make a choice in our brains before our heart feels it, before our soul feels forgiveness for this person, for whatever they've done. You have to make a decision inside your own spirit, your own heart, that you are choosing to forgive. And then what happens is with time, your feelings will change and that you will end up that where you will feel forgiveness for this person. But you have to make a choice. And that's an interesting concept and not everybody understands that. Well, how can I forgive that? You just need to. For your own good, you need to. Because you know what? The only person you're hurting with forgiveness is yourself. You're not hurting this other person. You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. If you're listening on the radio and you want to go inside, that's okay. Don't stay in your car. Go in the house. Go to KKLA.com and you just click on that listen live and you'll be able to listen to us live. How about that? And if you know somebody else that you think would benefit from what's being said here, don't fret about it. Just understand that you can tell them to go to Sue Freeze, spelt like fries, oneword.com, and they can listen to podcasts by going to the podcast section. And it's by date, it's by guest, if I have a guest, or by topic. There's also videos on there, there's helping hands on there. There's all types of wonderful information that you can glean from just by going on to that site. So getting back to my story is I had been practicing and practicing because my leg was at a point, not completely 100%. In fact, the choreographer that choreographed the routine that I was going to do with a dance partner, the dancing I do is partner dancing. It's not single dancing. It's with a partner. And it was to get back up again by Toby Mac, which was personal for me to get back up again. I wanted to have a Christian song that I danced to be a witness and to glorify God. But it also was a testimony to me and what God can do. And I believed it was a miracle. I still believe it's a miracle that I am where I am. And people, even my surgeon is surprised at how I'm doing. Anyway, I had a setback. I had worked and worked and worked and practiced and practiced and practiced. The choreographer changed choreography to where if you normally would spin on your right leg, he changed the choreography to where I would spin on my left leg. So I had to learn, actually. It's like if you're right-handed, you know, you're used to doing things with your right hand. So if you try to write with your left hand when you're right-handed, you know, the writing doesn't look too pretty. So you can understand the learning curve for me and for the choreographer to change my routine to where I could do things on my left leg that normally would be done on my right was miraculous in itself, and it was quite a learning curve for me. I reached the level in which that was accomplished. And I wasn't completely ready, and I only had 3 weeks left before the actual Thanksgiving U.S. Open at the Marriott in Glendale. I was very excited. There was a lot of people that were cheering me on. My face and my little testimony was in the brochure already and everything. So I really was excited about it. But then what happened was something unexpected is that I got a infection, which my surgeon said that that's normal. But normally within the first 6 months of surgery, you have to be careful. And even to get my teeth cleaned, I needed to get amoxicillin, and I'd have to take 4 capsules of amoxicillin just to get my teeth cleaned, because if there was going to be an infection, it would be when there was an open wound and the infection would automatically travel, supposedly, to the metal in my leg. And so I would always take antibiotics before I would go to the dentist. Well, I was out of town, and another thing that happened is that I put on a cowboy boot for the first time, and cowboy boots used to be my slippers. I used to call them my slippers because I always wore cowboy boots because I'm a country girl at heart. And so I decided to put on a cowboy boot, Well, then I realized that they weren't feeling really good, so I tried to take the cowboy boot off. And when I did, I pulled on my leg. And I think that I did something there. I pulled on it, and I pulled on it kind of hard. Instead of holding my ankle, putting my hand down in the boot and holding my ankle, I just kind of pulled the boot off. And when I did, I think I pulled the metal from the muscle in my leg, and I'm pretty sure that's what caused this infection in my leg. So we're 3 weeks before competition, and all of a sudden, I get up and I can't walk. And I was heading to Tahoe, and I was heading to Burbank Airport to get on a plane. And the actual attendant at the airport who checks in your luggage at the curb, he says, ma'am, he says, I can tell you're in a lot of pain. Let me get you a wheelchair. And right then and there, I was so stunned because I thought, I never thought in a million years I'd be back in a wheelchair. I thought I was done with that section of this healing process. And all of a sudden, I humbled myself and said, yeah, I think that's a good idea. And so, yes, you get, you know, almost first row and first into the airplane, which is nice. But to be back in a wheelchair was not what I was wishing for, wanting, you know, praying for. It just is something that happened. And I know there's a reason for all of it. I just don't know at this moment in time, unless maybe there is this story that needed to be told. And maybe there's somebody that can glean something from this that's going to give you hope in a hopeless situation. I don't know. But I just know I'm supposed to tell this story. So I got on the plane. They have a wheelchair. Then they have a lift. You get in the wheelchair. They put you on this little lift. You raise up like they put all of the cargo in. And then they get you out of the wheelchair and you kind of hobble into a chair. So that's what I did. And that wasn't the first time I did it, but it was just a long time ago that I did it. So there I was again. And I was in the wheelchair all weekend long during dancing. I was there for a dance event and I couldn't dance. And that's just so hard. I'm not a good spectator. I don't know about you, but I'm not a good spectator. I really like to be doing, not watching. I'm not a watcher. I'm a doer. I was spectating the whole weekend. And yes, I did learn by watching, but I learn better by doing. And I know everybody has their own learning, the way they learn best. But I learn hands-on better than I learn scholastically. So anyway, I know that about myself. So then I came back and I called the doctors from Tahoe and I said, I need some antibiotics. Can you just write me a prescription? He says, no, I can't do that. I need to see your leg. And I said, but I'm not here. I'm not there. He goes, come see me when you come back. So what I did was I took my dentist some amoxicillin and I started giving myself some pills just to get relief. And I was Epsom salting at night and jacuzziing it. And I was icing too. I was doing everything I humanly possibly could do that I knew about doing with what I had. And when I came back, he couldn't see me on Monday. He saw me on Tuesday. And he says, well, your leg looks better now. And I said, that's because I've been taking amoxicillin. He goes, nah, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. And I said, well, okay. All I know is that my leg is better. And he goes, well, okay. So it sounds like you're on the road to recovery. And I said, yes. I said, but doc, I said, I'm on my way to being out of town again, and I'm going to be gone overseas for over a week. And I'm leaving in 2 days. And so I would really like it if you could give me something just in case this happens when I'm gone. And I know you said amoxicillin isn't good. So whatever you suggest, could you please write me a prescription? And he said, under duress and because of what you're saying, yes, I will. So he did. And then he said, you know what, Sue? He said, let's just run some blood tests. Let's just see what's going on. And I said, I think that's a great idea. I was exhausted. It was 5:30 in the evening, and I was so tired, and all I wanted to do was leave. But then I thought, no, I'm not going to make it back here. I'm going to have an excuse not to come back. So I better just take care of this here and now. It's always better to take care of it now, isn't it? Isn't it better to just get her done? That's my motto, get her done. And so I get her done. I did. I went to the lab. They were getting ready to close. And I said, you know, take my blood. Not my favorite thing in the world. I don't know about you, but oh, just don't like that. And she asked me if I would look. And I said, no, I'm not looking. And then I went to the prescription place. And the pharmacy was obviously really a long line because it was right after work. And everybody decided they wanted their pills the same time I did. And so I had to wait in this long line. But you know what? I'm so glad I did. I got my lab done. And I asked the lady, I said, how soon will it be before I get the results from this? She goes, well, the doctor didn't put a rush on this. So I don't know. You'd have to talk to your doctor to get a rush on it if you need to. There's no stat on it or anything like that. And I said, oh. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm going to be out of the country. And then he's going to find out there's something wrong. And then what? You know, so I was like, ooh, not liking that. Anyway, so the next morning, first thing, my surgeon, he's the greatest, Dr. Messna. He's so great. He called me and he was surprised. And he called me and he said, Sue, he said, did you get those antibiotics that I prescribed to you? And I said, yes, I did. He says, good thing. And I said, why? And he says, you have an infection and it's not gone and we need to attack it right now. And I said, okay. And I said, what causes? And he goes, I have no idea. And at this late of the game, I'm so surprised that you got an infection, but you did. It's obvious you did. So I'm glad you're doing the antibiotics I gave you, and, you know, let me know how it goes. So that went on. So that caused me to not be able to practice anymore. So therefore, I had to come to the emotional reality that I was not going to be able to do this competition on Thanksgiving weekend. And that was devastating for me because I really was working so hard to make this happen. It was a statement for me, statement for God. And I was wondering why it wasn't going to happen. I didn't understand why God would allow this. He doesn't, I don't believe God makes things happen, but I do believe that things happen and he will allow things to happen. And you know, we don't have answers. We don't know the whys behind everything. We just don't. And I believe that my Heavenly Father is a loving God, and I believe he loves me with all his heart. Why else would he sacrifice his only son for me? Why would he do that unless he absolutely loved me and he valued me enough to do that? That's huge. You're listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA, and we're talking about the holidays and how they can affect you negatively and how you can turn those negatives into positives. And I'm giving you a story that comes from my heart on how I am getting through the holidays myself and with encouragement. And I'm hoping that, you know, these times that we can turn it around. You know, sacrificing a dinner and whatnot is one thing, but to sacrifice your son, wow. That's pretty big, and I feel very valuable in order for him to have done that for me. So I'm going to go forward and say that I'm sitting at the competition because I had nowhere else to go. I had made plans to go, and I keep with my commitments. So I got invited late in the game to go somewhere else, but I'd already made a commitment. And so I stuck with my commitment, even though it was very difficult for me to sit in that seat and watch other competitors competing and me having to be a spectator. And I also made a decision that what could I do that would be positive for me and positive for others during this time that felt very negative for me. So that's when I decided to do a live show on Saturday. And come to find out, my program, the program that I was going to compete in, was at 7 o'clock. My show aired at 6 o'clock. And so I couldn't even be there to watch half of the contestants because I was busy doing this show. So it was emotionally charged last weekend to do a live show, and my emotions, I guess, came over the radio. And there were people that called in, and they were talking about what they were doing, because my suggestion is that, you know, if life isn't what it was and you had traditions that you were used to doing, and now you found yourself in a place where those traditions can't be anymore, and it's a sad time for you because it made you, it slaps you right between the eyes and right in the heart that you're alone and that you're not where you were before and it's a sad place for you, then it's time to make a decision to make new traditions, to change up whatever it is that you are doing and make new things happen. It's a new season. It's kind of like the butterfly that's in a cocoon. And then he leaves the cocoon because he's going to become a butterfly. And so we go through seasons in our lives. And even though there's sadness, and I talk about life is railroad tracks. There's two tracks. And I took this from Rick Warren. Thank you, Rick. Regarding the railroad tracks, how's your life going? And it's never only high and only low. There's highs and lows that are going simultaneously down this road. And that's the way our life is that we have highs and lows at the same time. And we deal with the highs and lows differently based on experience and based on knowledge. So those lows we have to turn into highs. And how do you do that? Is that, you know, either you surround yourself with other people that are like thinkers, or you go out and you hand out turkeys to people that are less fortunate than you. Whatever it is you need to do to make a difference to someone else, whenever you're feeling down, help somebody else feel better and you will feel better. That's a guarantee. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
So we're back from after the break, and I was talking about the accident and how I wanted to do this dance competition. And then I couldn't because I had got an infection, and then I decided that I was going to make a good situation out of a bad one. We have a choice. And if you are feeling down because of the holidays, we just got through Thanksgiving, right? And now we've got Christmas right around the corner. If Christmas is going to be kind of the same scenario as Thanksgiving was, then prepare yourself ahead of time and make some decisions to do things different. Maybe you should have dinner and invite other people that are feeling the same loneliness or pain or just don't have a place to go. Open up your home and cook dinner or cook it together or make a potluck or something. And maybe that's something that could be, well, definitely would be. It would be helpful because you're not going to be alone and you're going to be somewhere with people that care about you. And so, you know, whatever it is, wherever you are and whatever you're facing, you know, think ahead a little bit and take a bad situation and make it better just by a little planning, just by saying, you know what, I am not going to do the same thing that I did during Thanksgiving. It's not going to be the same. I'm going to change and I'm going to make new traditions for me and maybe new traditions for my family and come up with some new traditions. And I'm sure you can do that because you know what? God gave us this brain to think, and we can think and we can come up with things. I had an epiphany when I went back from the radio show because I had callers calling in. They shared their experience and things that, you know, no matter how bad things seem to be for you, there's always somebody that has something more and something worse. And a lady called in and she was talking about her life. And I was like, oh my goodness, my issues are nothing compared to this. And that so often happens. And it was wonderful that she was articulate and she shared her story. And it was wonderful. And if you can, I would recommend that you listen to the podcast from last week. When I went back to the Marriott in Glendale and I got to see, I did see the second half of competitors, and I was thinking to myself, you know, gosh, if I was up to snuff and everything, I would have given them a run for their money. You know, and that was kind of a bummer, but really not, because whoever won needed to win more than I needed to win, obviously. You know, that's the way it is. I was running to the running. That's funny. I haven't been able to run in a long time. I was walking fast. I can do that. Anyway, I was walking fast to the ladies' room, and there was a glass door where people would go out to smoke. Can't believe dancers smoke, but they were smoking out in the smoking section out in the parking lot, and they were locked out. And I could see this gentleman, and he had a number on his back, and he was freaking out because he couldn't get into the door. And I think that they were calling, you know, the next section of dancers, and he might have been one of them, and he couldn't get in the door. So I thought, I was walking and I was watching everybody watch this guy try to get in, and nobody was making an effort to go towards the door. So I decided, okay, I don't have to go to the restroom that bad. So I'm gonna walk over to the door and open it up. And I did. And when I did, the man on the other side, I recognized his face, but I didn't really know him. But he says, oh my gosh, you're a lifesaver. And I turned around without even thinking. And I said, no, I don't think I'm a lifesaver. I'm just pretty good at opening doors. And I walked to the ladies' room. And I'm in the ladies' room, and this is so funny, but I started thinking about what I just said. And what I said was, no, I'm not a lifesaver. I'm just really good at opening doors. And you know what? That is so true about my life. And I bet that if you think about it, something as simple as that, I mean, that's just so obvious, right? I'm not good at, you know, I don't save lives. I just open doors. But on this radio show, what am I doing? Well, I might be saving lives, but I'm not saving them. The Lord is saving them. I, you know, it might be your life I'm saving. I'm not saving it. The Lord is using me as an open vessel to, and I ask the Lord to use me for his glory, to use me to give people hope in a hopeless situation. But what is it I do? I just open the door. I'm faithful. I'm a faithful servant that's doing his work. There's sacrifice that's involved in doing the show. There's a sacrifice because I'm taking time out of working with Ecola, and I'm taking time out of a list that I wrote on my seat before I came into this show here. And it's 18 numbers long, and these all have to be done in one day, and they're all, you know, more than a 2-hour, which is more hours than the day. So, I mean, I'm looking at this list, and I was going to read them off, but I'm thinking, nah, I don't need to do that. Just understand that the list is long and the days are short. And, you know, I remember somebody saying that when you want something to happen, you just ask a busy person, because a busy person will get it done. But I'm finding these days that I'm spinning like a spinning top, and it seems as though no matter how much I do, it's not enough, and I'm not getting it done. But I just go back to that statement of, I don't know about saving lives, but I am good at opening doors. And, you know, it was just so funny that I was standing in the bathroom and I'm just going, wow, that's really big. That's really incredible. And the other epiphany I had a long time ago is when people at parties, I used to say this, is like, you know, when I ask, who are you? I would say, oh, I kill termites. I'm a licensed killer. I would laugh about that. But, you know, that I kill termites, and people would say, ah, that's great. And they'd turn around and walk about and talk to somebody else that was more interesting than me. And that's just true, and it's the way life is. That's okay. But then I started thinking about that, and I started thinking that, you know what, that is not what I do. What I do is I protect your most expensive investment, your home, your family, your pets, and the environment. And it's not me, but it's Ecola, but it's because I open the doors. And I just thought that that was interesting, because it's just a change in our thought process, and I want you to change your process. Whatever your little voice is telling you that's a positive voice, listen to that one. The negative one, don't listen to it. And just change maybe the way you're thinking. You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5, and we're talking about making a good situation out of a bad one. And I was talking about personally how that's happened with me and this injury and how it caused me to write a book. And I wanted to read out of my book because I'm going through the final draft and it's taking a lot of time and effort out of my day. But it's something that I definitely feel I need to get done. And so I'm going to read a little bit about this. After hearing Dr. Linford speak, I knew that he was a critical part of my journey, that heat, which is a process we use, was key to unlocking the doors I needed to walk through as a woman, as a business person, as a resident of the planet Earth, and most importantly, as the mother to a very sick child. Rare are the moments when clear seeing is all yours, and in Dr. Linford's impassioned, even-handed talk about non-chemical, whole-structure treatments, I saw the future. In another chapter on page 164, it's 164 now, I don't know if it'll end up being 164, but it says, I knew for a fact, based on all the statistics I read and the people I knew, by only 2 or 3 degrees of separation, that dozens, maybe hundreds of children in our Ventura County area suffered from asthma, and Maria and I had done a committed job of reaching out to the schools, the homeschooling networks, churches, and recreation centers in the neighborhood. But as Maria and I set out 10 folding chairs in her living room, however hard we tried to visualize the room full of other concerned parents, we still felt we were laying out 8 too many chairs, meaning that we called a meeting and we were not sure that more than 2 people, meaning Maria and I myself, would be the only people attending. Do you know what you're going to say tonight? Maria asked me. I think I've written the first page of the speech like 23 times, I said, but I've thrown them all away. I've just turned it over to prayer. Does that actually work for you? She said, incredulously. Well, you can't just pray, I said. You have to take right action, too. You have to keep showing up prepared and ready. Is that what we're doing? All I know is I'm scared to lose my son, she said. I want him to have the healthiest life I can create for him. Look what you've done with that fear, I said, smoothing out the tablecloth beneath the punch bowl and the trays of cookies. Even if it's just you and me tonight, we know we're not alone. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. That's Timothy 1:5, right? She smiled. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9, I said, smiling. I could go on. Her smile grew. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Proverbs 31:26. So that's just a part of the book. So I brought scripture in. I brought my life story, my fight against asthma. And Ecola is about that, too, because we're a non-chemical alternative treatment company. And so all of this goes together, and it's like, when I think about my life and where it was and where it is and all the things that have happened to get me to where I am right now, think about your life. Think about what's happened in your life, both positive and negative. And, you know, it's like there's this roadmap And we're being prepared for whatever's coming in front of us. And so with that being said, you know, take all that in. Take a breath. I have to do that. Breathe. And then when you do that, just think about and be thankful for all that God has done, that God has been with you. Even in the bad times, he's been there. You know, he's walked beside you. He's even carried you at times. You might not have known it at the time, but looking back, you probably noticed it now. But going forward, we have choices in our lives and we need to make plans, but understand that we want to have God at the steering wheel. You know, Jesus, take the wheel. And we want to make sure that he's in control. We have to do our part. Don't just sit back and do nothing. That's the most frustrating thing for me. Don't sit back and do nothing. You need to do something. Do something. Be in motion. Nothing can happen without motion. Do something. And things will happen. You know, recently at this event, I was told that one of the DJs that I had had lunch with a couple times and actually been on the airplane with, his name was David Koppelman, and he was suffering with Lou Gehrig's disease. He used to dance. And Lou Gehrig's disease usually affects your legs and your muscles. It affects your muscles. But what it had affected with him, he was a lawyer. He was a very intelligent man. It affected his arms, so he couldn't lead because he didn't have his hands. I used to have to help him get his credit card out because he'd have to use his mouth because he couldn't get the credit card out. So he just recently died, and that's just, wow, everybody in the dance community is like, oh my gosh, we just saw him last week, and I did. I saw him in Tahoe when I was fighting with that infection in my leg. I saw him there, and he had trouble breathing there. Anyway, so that happened, and then we've got Frank, who was on the radio. He gets on his motorcycle that he just did. He does every single day. And he even talked about his life and that his body and his spirit are not this, you know, not together. That it's just amazing what he was talking about. And then where he is and what's going on with him right now. And he's loved by so many. And there's so many prayers going out for him. And we just have to believe that he's going to get better. And, you know, he had an issue happen before with shattered and now here he is, and who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? God knows. So let's keep praying for him. And then I had this gentleman come into my office yesterday, and he's an auto body guy, and I have a truck that's got damaged. It happens quite often. Anyway, I asked my auto body guy to come in, and I hadn't seen him in a while, and he comes in, and he goes, "Hey, Sue," and I said, "What?" I said, "Come and say hi." And so he came and sat down, and he said, "You know, I haven't seen you in about a year." And I said, "I know. Where have you been?" He goes, "A lot has happened." And he speaks Spanish better than English, so I had to pay close attention to what he was saying. But what he said was, is he went to the doctors, and the doctor said he only had 5 years to live. And I went, "What? What?" And he says, "Yes." And I said, "Well, why?" And he says, "Because I have cancer." And I said, "Well, what kind of cancer?" And he said, "Skin cancer." I said, "Oh, my goodness." And so I was asking him, and he was telling me that his daughter worked for a doctor, and he got second opinion and third opinion, and they decided that, no, he wasn't going to die. But during the time that he didn't know if he was going to die or he was going to die or he wasn't going to die or if he had 5 years or if he had less than 5 years or whatever, I asked him this question. I said, "Wow, did it change the way you think? Do you think differently now than you did before you got that news?" And the answer was, "Yes, absolutely." He says, "I had to get all of my money in order. I had to get, you know, my kids so that they were all handled and everything was dealt with so that if it did happen, I would be ready and that my kids wouldn't have to deal with all of this stuff. I made it to where it was better for them. So now I've got life and I thank God every day for the days and the moments I have. I appreciate every breath." He even said that. He appreciates every breath. He appreciates every day that he wakes up and it's a new morning. And you know, we never know, do we? We never know how much time we have. So could the question for each one of us be, if you had 5 years left to live, would you change anything? Would you do anything different? That's a big question. So I want you to ponder on that. Even write it down. And write down what it is you would do different. Write it down. Make it a checklist. And don't have it on that list, like I was talking about my website and this book and other things, year after year after year. You need to do those things because those are the important things. In Ecclesiastes, it talks about that everything we do is chasing in the wind, that you can't take it with you. You can't take anything in your hand when you leave this earth. So everything we're doing, you know, it's not how many memos you write. It might be how many kisses and how many hugs you give and how many times you say, "I love you." Those are the important things. But get your life in order. Think about what you can do that's going to make a difference for those around you and for yourself. Those are the important things. And I think that's this whole show. This whole show is about take a bad situation and make it good. Look at what's happening. Things that are happening around you. What can you do to make a difference for the good? And there are things that happen, you know. Good things happen. Bad things happen. But what are we doing about it? We have decisions to make, choices to make. And what is it you're doing that's going to make a difference to someone today? Be a blessing to someone today. I say that all the time. In fact, that's on my voicemail. You know, be a blessing to someone today. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. Another thing I've realized is that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them. And it's much better to seek to understand than to be understood. And also, when I came back from the radio show, I was a little pumped up because I just felt like, you know, I didn't feel like I was alone. I felt like I was doing something to help others. Even though I wanted to be on that dance floor so bad, I felt like that what I did was more important for that moment in time. I still think that I will be back on that dance floor. I'll be more prepared and probably better. Obviously, yes, better, because I'll have more time to prepare. I was walking down the lobby like 2 hours after the event, and I watched the competitions and cheered everybody on and everything sitting there, and people were coming up saying, I saw you in the brochure, but you weren't in there. What happened? And I told them, and they said they were sorry to hear that, and they can't wait to see me on the floor, which was very kind, very nice. But I'm walking down the lobby, and I decided to sit in a seat, and it's the lobby where everybody walks through, and a lot of the hubbub had happened, and so people were going to the restaurant to eat and, you know, go different places, and people stopped to just talk, and I started, you know, just feeling like I wanted to ask questions because I wanted to get to know people at a deeper level. And there's certain people where I knew them a long time ago, and then they kind of disappeared from the dance scene, and then they're back again. And one individual who I'm going to have on the show, I asked him, and he was so surprised that I had a show, and I started asking him penetrating questions, and he was a little uncomfortable. He's a young guy, and he's really an incredible dancer. His name is Ryan. I'm not going to say his last name, but his name is Ryan. And I started asking him questions about his life. And, you know, when it was mentioned that I had a show, he goes, whoa, what kind of show, you know? And I said that, you know, I talk to people, and I'm just trying to make a difference. And stories, you know, stories from people a lot of the times give other people hope. And, you know, I feel that we are here to help one another. And he made a comment, and he says, no. He says, my life right now is I need to take care of me. And I need to be focused on me. And I thought that was, wow, how self-absorbed is that? And how selfish is that? So then I asked him more questions. I started asking him. I said, you know, you were doing so well. You had a partner, and all of a sudden you disappeared. And I heard you went on the deep side, and you kind of got into other things. And he goes, yeah, I did. You know, and he was a little bit embarrassed about it. But then he said, yeah. And I said, well, how deep did you get? And I said, you know, how far did you go down this road? And he said, well, I was doing drugs. I was really in trouble. And he goes, I wasn't doing well in school. And in asking questions, what I found out was, and it makes a whole lot more sense, his comment now. And, you know, sometimes we hear comments like this, or we see somebody act a certain way, but we didn't see the before or the after of this. So we don't really understand it. We just see what we see. And I tell my employees, you know, believe half what you see and nothing you hear. And I really, truly believe that. Half what you see and nothing you hear. And when I started probing and asking these questions, I had a friend next to me that was embarrassed or uncomfortable that I was asking these penetrating questions. It was a male, and he was uncomfortable because he's like, wow, that's really kind of personal. I mean, you're getting kind of personal with these people. And you know, I asked Ryan, I said, Ryan, do you mind that I'm asking these questions? He goes, no. He says, you know, usually people don't really want to know that much about other people's lives and stuff. And I think it's kind of cool. And this is his words. I think it's kind of cool that you're asking me, because obviously you must be interested in me and my life, or you wouldn't be asking these questions. What I found out from Ryan was that he was raised, his father wasn't really around. And I said, why did you leave the dancing world? And he said, because my parents said my grades were bad. So they told me I couldn't go to dance anymore. I couldn't dance until I got my grades up. And so I became rebellious and said, well, you know, I'm just going to go, you know, and just play and not go to school at all. And if I can't dance, then I don't really have any interest that's good, so therefore I'm just going to be bad. So he decided to get into drugs and to hang around the wrong people. And you know, that was kind of his family then, is these drug people were his family. And I asked him the question. I said, was your mother into drugs? And he didn't really want to answer, but he says she really wasn't there for me. And she wasn't a good example for me. And I said, oh, do you have a relationship with her now? Are you going to see her in the holidays? She goes, no. He goes, no, I don't have a relationship. And I felt my heart just broke. And he looked at me and he says, I have a new family now. And his dance community is his family. And he says, even in the dance community, there's good people and bad people. And he has to realize that he has to choose the good people that he's going to hang with, because he doesn't want to fall down the wrong path again. So that's what he meant by he has to put a protective shield around him, and he has to protect himself, because he doesn't have somebody else to protect him. You know, he didn't have that figure to protect him. So therefore, he's realizing now that he has to be the one. And it's difficult to cut people off and to say, you know, this isn't a good thing, so I got to cut it off. It's hard, especially when you don't have something else to fill the void. And that's what happens around the holidays, too. So it's a time that we have to guard ourselves. So with that, I'm saying that, you know, it's okay to ask these questions, because if you really care, it's a good thing. And the Lord gave me sensitivities, and he gives you sensitivities if you want to pay attention to them or not, to be sensitive to other people. Because we can be so self-absorbed that all we are thinking about is what's going on with us. Or we can say, okay, bad thing's happening to me right now. How can I turn this around and make it a good thing? What can I do to make a good thing out of this? And that's a positive person. That's somebody that, even though bad things are happening, good things are going to happen, because they're thinking this way. So I am going to have Ryan on the show, and he's a young guy, so he's going to relate to the young guys, but he's also going to be able to relate to the parents, because I think that he has a message to the parents. Parents, you need to understand your role in the family. You need to understand how important your role is as a mom, as a dad, and how much these children rely on you. It's a good thing. It's a good thing that you were put in that position, and so you need to take it seriously. So I've loved being with you. I've loved sharing this story with you of new understandings and awarenesses. And I'm hoping that it's given you courage, and it's given you encouragement, and you're wiser today than you were yesterday. And until next week, God bless you, and make yourself a blessing to someone today. You are forgiven, and you need to understand that you're worthy to receive God's love. Just ask him, and he's right there for you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy, and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.